Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you here with us today and every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you please join me for devotion? I'm going to sing How Great Thou Art, and we'd like to have Brother Jefferson read the scripture and Dr. Nooks to close, to begin us with prayer. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder. That throughout the universe displays, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen, amen. Today's reading can be found in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 13. I'll be reading in the New Living Translation. The Lord's word thus said, Jesus replied, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is a farce. For they replace God's commandments with their own man-made teachings. For you ignore God's specific laws and substitute your own traditions." Then he said, "You reject God's law in order to hold on to your own traditions. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God: honor your father and your mother, and anyone who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parent, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I could have given to you. You let them disregard their needy parents. As such, you break the law of God in order to protect your own tradition. And this is only one example. There are many, many others. I have read for you out of the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 6 through 13. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and doing of his word.
Amen. Amen.
God, we thank you for today. We thank you. Thank you for tonight and for the opportunity to study your word. We ask you to touch those that are involved in the Bible study and touch the lives of those that we touch. God, we need direction from you, and we need strength and comfort. So comfort us. God, teach us by your Spirit. Help us to learn from one another. And God, help us to learn from your word. We seek that. We seek growth. And God, help us to be receptive and open to others and to hear what others have to say. And then God, help us to proclaim your word and to live your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are so, so excited to continue this Bible study because we are excited. As we have our Bible study this month, Mr. Eric Jefferson is our teacher, and our instruction is it about tradition or should it be a new thing? Now, this is our lesson for the full month of July. And last week he began with talking about the traditions of God. And we went through Deuteronomy and we sat down and talked about what the traditions of God are. But this week we have a real exciting topic. And Mr. Jefferson is going to bring the topic, why does God break God's own tradition? Amen. Brother Jefferson, are you ready?
Ready, Dr. Susie.
All right. Let's go.
Well, welcome to everyone. Thank you for being a part of the study tonight. Thank you for giving us your time, but most of all, thank you for giving God his time because God has been very, very kind to all of us, and no matter what our situations are, we know that God is still in control and he's still in charge. And where God is in charge, there's always hope that all will work for our benefit. So I thank you this evening. So as a point of privilege, I want to offer up a small prayer. Whenever teaching God's word, I must ask God to reveal himself and let it be all of him and none of me. So Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you for the participants on this Bible study. We thank you for all those that have tuned in to spend an hour with us, with you. But we know that we spend more than just an hour that we do on Tuesdays, Father, but this is an opportunity for us to dialogue and for us to teach and for us to share most of all your love. So, Lord, let it be all of you and none of me. May we receive your word. May it be a benefit to us that it may direct our paths so we may serve you in a more righteous and holy way. And most of all, Father, that we may be a light into this world to show that God is love. For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So as Dr. Susie said last week, we looked at seven traditions that God instituted, looking in Deuteronomy chapter 14 through chapter 16. And we talked about the tithe and why the tithe was instituted. We looked at the release of debt. We looked at the release of Hebrew slavery. We looked at the sacrificing the firstborn male animal. We looked at the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. Then we looked at the festival of harvest and the festival of shelter. And it was very important for God to establish those traditions for his people. Most of all, I think we walked away last week stating that God wanted to do that so that they would always remember him and what he had done for them, bringing the children of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt. But also that the children would also have a dependence upon God, to always be humble and thankful as well. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at God breaking his own traditions, and breaking may be a strong word, but basically saying to the children of Israel that I want more than just what you've been doing, those traditions that I instituted, that I need some other stuff from you as well, because you've kind of been taking those for granted. And so tonight I want to look at three texts. The first one is Psalms 50, verses 7 through 15. Then we'll look at Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 20. And we'll conclude our evening looking at and discussing Psalms 51, verses 16 and 17. So, Dr. Nooks, could you read Psalms 57 through 15 for us this evening, please?
Would you mind if we did a roll call first?
Yes, that would absolutely be great. So we've got Dr. Susie, Dr. Nooks, anyone else?
Brett.
Oh, afternoon, Brett. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Anyone else?
Sean.
Well, good evening, Sister Sean.
How's everybody?
We're
all right,
fantastic, and glad
doing
to
great.
Have you with us. Absolutely. Anyone else? Hello, Sam. We're getting the band back together, huh? Dr. Nooks, if you could read Psalm 57 through 15 for us, please.
Okay, this is in the New Living Translation. O my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. I am God, your God. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer. But I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. But God says to the wicked, why bother reciting my decrees? I went too far.
Oh, no, go ahead. You can read read the rest of it. You can read down to 23. You can read all of it.
And pretending to obey my covenant, for you refuse my discipline and treat my words like trash, my Lord. When you see thieves, you approve of them, and you spend your time with adulterers. Your mouth is full with wickedness, and your tongue is full of lies. You sit around and slander your brother, your own mother's son. While you did all this, I remained silent, and you thought I didn't care. But I now will rebuke you, listing all my charges against you. Repent, all of you who forget me, or I will tear you apart, and no one will help you. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God.
All right.
My Lord.
So Dr. Nooks, what was the one that jumped out at you as you read that passage and looked at those scriptures? As it relates to...
You mean which one?
I want to give everybody a chance to answer that question.
Because it's a lot.
The thing that jumped out at me was that God really doesn't care about tradition in the sense that it becomes just idle repetition, that God wants people to truly sacrifice themselves and honor him in what they do. It's not about a sacrifice in an animal or anything. God doesn't need that. But God seeks us and to honor him. Then God will hear from us.
Amen. Absolutely. I mean, God created those seven traditions that we went through last week, and he instituted those. And the children of Israel just kind of haphazardly began to just do them and mindlessly, and like, you know, they were doing all this other stuff and killing and robbing and mistreating people and thinking, oh, well, I'm going to go to the temple and I'm going to make this sacrifice, or I'm going to, you know, follow the law of, you know, the festival of shelters and all of that, and everything's going to be fine. And God is saying, no, that's not what I want. I don't want the stuff that you're sacrificing, the stuff you're bringing to me. I want you to live in a way that reflects me. And how? And I think that we've lost that today. I think that we in our Christian churches have lost that. That we no longer think that we need to live as a reflection of God. That we can just go to church on Sunday, say a few prayers, give a few bucks, do a little mission work. Maybe go to church on a Wednesday if they have Bible study on a Wednesday. And everything is fine. And I think God is directly speaking to us today, saying, no, it's not fine. Are you standing up for justice? Are you seeking mercy for those that, are you providing mercy for those that need it, that you come into contact with? Are you seeking justice for those who are in need or are in help? Or are you the one that's causing them the problems and issues that they have?
All right.
So what else jumped, Sister Shine, what jumped out at you? Now, you might be on mute, sister.
The thing that jumped out at me is just that, I mean, I think it's partly what Dr. Nook said. I mean, he made everything. I mean, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing you can really give him. He created it all. So it's, you know, I don't know. It's hard to put in words, but I just think it's hard to conceptualize. I mean, you know, how do you give something to somebody that has everything or who created everything? You know, you can't out-top God. So I think, you know, he was letting you know in that, you know, the thing that you can do, you know, to show me that you love me is, you know, honor me with your sacrifice in loving him, you know, and showing him honor and respect. Because you can't give him material things. I mean, he created it all. I mean, how are you going to impress somebody that, you know, I mean, just the thought of
that's
that.
Right. You can't.
It's funny, you know. You can't.
But I think for us, that there is the answer in 14 and 15. What I want instead is your true thing to God. I want you to fulfill your vows to the Most High. Trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. It doesn't say trust in your money. It doesn't say trust in your job. It doesn't say trust in your family and your friends. There's trust in me in your time of trouble. And it says time, so we know there's going to be more than one. Times of trouble. Turn to God, but what do we normally do, Brett? What do we normally do when we get in trouble?
We get down on our knees and start saying a prayer, try to ask God to help us. Before I go any further, I want to say this. What jumped out at me, because I read what was in the curriculum for today, but 16 through 20, to me, sounds like what happens today with a crackhead when he's dealing with his mother and his brothers and sisters, where they're saying things, doing things, they're doing everything they can to try and get over. The only thing he didn't put in here was stealing money. But 16 through 20 kind of covers that.
Now, well, we may cover that. Let me touch on that a little bit. We may cover that today with that scenario, but that's just not for a crackhead, because you got some Christian brothers and sisters who's mistreating they folks too.
Oh, sure.
And they come
I was
to church every week. You know,
right.
They're talking about the law of God, this, that, and the other, but yet they're mistreating their family. They're talking about their brother. They hanging out on the corner with people doing wrong and stuff. I mean, that's not just for those folks who may have an addiction. That's for some of us folks who pretending to be righteous.
I know that.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that. So as you shake the pastor's hand when you get out that front door of the church, before you hit the sidewalk, a lot of people are gossiping, telling lies and stuff.
What you mean? They doing it in the church, brother. They ain't got to wait till they get outside. They're doing it in the pews.
Okay.
they're whispering stuff in the pews.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
So I mean it really is, and you said that we get up on our knees and pray, but Brett,
mm-hmm.
you've been walking this journey a long time and you know that, but we may
mm-hmm.
have some people who are listening tonight who haven't been on this journey quite as long as you, and normally that's not the first thing that we do when we new Christians or we really haven't bonded that relationship with
mm-hmm.
God through Jesus Christ. We don't normally fall down on our knees, first of all. We try to find somebody that can help us fix it, somebody that can help us make it right, whatever the wrong is. Or we trust in ourselves to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Without truly, from my perspective, without truly understanding why we might be in that situation.
Think we can do everything ourselves, and then when something gets fouled up, then we have no other place to go but try and fix it ourselves. And like you said, for those that have been walking the journey for a while, we know to get on our knees and take it to God.
We know to get on our knees. We know to trust Him, look for Him in our times of trouble, and let Him guide and direct us through His Holy Spirit in where and
Amen.
What He needs us to do. Because sometimes we got to get out of the way of what He needs to do. And I'll give my short testimony this evening is that I was working for the Y in Mobile, and I was the Lord had blessed me to do great things there, but I started running into problems with the board of directors. And the bet was I going to find another job before they fired me? That really was the bet, because then it just got to the point that we couldn't work together anymore. But the Lord had allowed some preachers and some other people to come on the board who saw
Amen.
What was going on and said, no, you're not going to fire him. As long as he keeps doing his job, you're not going to fire him. And then they would say, well, he's looking for another job. And one of the preachers said, if you would treat me that way, I'd be looking for one too. And I was trying to leave the area. I was trying to get out of that area. I didn't want no more parts of the South, and had been offered a position in Ohio to run a United Way, and we couldn't come to terms on them moving me, and it was a difference of $2,500. And the Lord plainly told me, said, I don't need you to go back to Ohio. I need you to stay here.
All
and
right.
Within a week, there was another organization in Mobile area that they contacted me and said, we need you to apply for this position. And I told them, I don't want that position. I don't want to do that. I don't want to work with the homeless. I don't know nothing about working with the homeless. I've always worked with children. I don't want to work with the homeless. I told them that all up until the time I signed the letter of engagement to go to work for them. And the Lord clearly said to me, I need you to do that. And I was obedient to that. But a lot of times we don't do that. We do what we think is going to be the best thing for us, and it's probably not what God wants us to do, and it's not the best thing for God.
All right.
Because what God really wants is for us to be able to give Him the glory. And I give all that glory to God because I was trying to get out of there.
Yeah, and this is James, and I think this for those that are listening in, maybe that haven't had a walk with God for a long time, the importance of of having a true relationship with God, and I think you touched on that, Brother Eric. The relationship is critical because we can have a concept that being a Christian means going to church or doing certain things in the church, being there when the doors of the church are open. But this text here, that, and Brett reminded us of it, 16th verse, is why bother reciting my decrees and pretending to obey my covenant? If it doesn't mean anything to
Amen.
You, then
All
you
right.
need to question your relationship with God. In Hebrews 11 and 6, it says that we need to know that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
So God needs to be real to you, my brothers and sisters that are listening in. And it's not about how many times you come to church. It's not about whether you serve on the deacon board or you're the pastor or you're this or that. It's about the relationship that you have with God, and God is real to you. Then when you pray, then when you worship, then when you sacrifice, burn off, whatever it is you do in your worship, it means something to God because you and God are one. You're connected. God is your God. Otherwise, God is not your God. It's just a concept. It's something that you're doing because somebody told you ought to do it. And it doesn't mean anything to God. And that's what God is saying in this text.
This is Dr. Susie. And, you know, it's really not a whole bunch more I can say to this, but I just want to kind of pull it together from everything that I'm hearing, Brother Eric, and that as you ask us the question that how does God break God's own tradition? Well, all the festivals and the formalities of what God told the people to do. Well, here he is now saying, you know, it's one thing for formalism, meaning that you do the religious acts of service. And that's what he's saying
yeah.
here. That's hypocrisy. You know, doing the ritual is the hypocrisy. When your, as Brother Nuss was saying, as everybody said on the line, it's where your heart is. What the, there's a scripture that says, your treasure is where your heart is. Or where your heart is, where your heart
yeah.
is, there your treasure will be also, or something like that.
Yes.
But the point is
right.
that when you truly love the Lord, when your heart is devoted to God, then you don't just get up there and ritually do anything. When you hear a song, you're not just going to hear your favorite song, but you listen to the words because you are worshiping God because you know what they mean. And the significance
Amen.
Of that relationship
Amen.
Is manifested in that song. When you're hearing the pastor preach the word, you're not going, oh, that sounds like Sister Bobby. You're going, oh, how can I use this word to change and transform me? Brother Al Sharpton says every Sunday, looking at the man in the mirror, looking at ourselves, trying to figure out how we can change our ways. And it's our heart that's devoted and connected and in relationship with God that does something for God. It makes God happy. He says, make thankfulness your sacrifice. He said, because you know
All right.
that does something for me. Call on me then. I'm going to be there, you know. Then and that gives me honor. That's what does something for me. And I think if we can just remember that fundamental thing is be real. Just be real with
Amen.
God. You know,
Amen.
Tell the truth. God knows anyway, so just be real.
Amen.
Well, we know he knows if once you read Psalms 139, we know God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he's asking
Amen.
Us to be authentic. There's our word we founded this on, being authentic. Sister John, are you able to read for us tonight? Are you in a position to do that?
Yeah. Let me grab it right quick. I was just going to make one comment on that.
Yes, please do.
And then we're talking about to short version of what everybody is saying, I think, is having a relationship with God regardless of the circumstance. It's easy to be there when it's good times, when the sun is shining and you got, you know, excellent health and everything in your life is wonderful and, you know, the light shining on you. You know what I'm saying? Everything's going your way. The question
All right.
is what are you going to do when it's like a storm outside? It's raining and a tornado is bearing down. You can see it coming. what are you going to do then? Are you still going to stand with him? Are you? That's where your belief and your relationship, you're like, no matter what, Lord, I'm with you. So that's the true test of who or what your relationship really is, you know. And so that's, I think he's saying, at least that's what I feel like he says to me, is that, you know, are you only going to love me here? Are you only going to trust me here when everything's great? Or are you going to trust me when times is tough and you're sweating? You know what I'm saying? And you're nervous and you're scared. And, you know, so I think it's in spite of the circumstance. But that was just my thoughts on that subject. But I have a Bible now, so what would you like for me to read?
And you're absolutely right, because he says there in the 15th, trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you.
But this is in the context of worship. So it's about worshiping in spirit and truth.
Yeah. Sister Sean, if you could read Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 20. Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 20.
Okay, give me one second here. Isaiah 1, 10 through 20.
Correct.
Okay. It reads, hold on one second, two pages away. Okay. Isaiah 1, okay, 10 through 20 is, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of, what is that? Gomorrah.
Gomorrah.
To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of the bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense, and abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Woo!
Amen.
What jumped out at you there, Sister Sean?
Basically, he's saying, you know, turn your life around. And it's not about what you think. Basically, what you think is the sacrifice, you know, and, you know, what they were doing back then, they were sacrificing animals and stuff like that, you know. And he's saying, that's, you know, turn away from all that. That's not me. That's your doing. I ain't asked for all that. Okay. What he says in another part of the Bible, does he say, my ways and not your ways? So that's an example of your ways of sacrificing these animals. I ain't asking for all that. I'm asking for you. So he's saying, turn away from those things and, you know, be obedient to my will and my word. And the last two scriptures where it says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. So to me, it's no, you know, you can't make it any clearer than that.
Amen. Let me look at the New Living Translation, a couple verses, because there's one in here at verse 11. Dr. Nooks, you have that?
Yeah, I do.
Just read for me, yeah, read for me 10 through 17.
Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices? Says the Lord. I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fatted cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asks you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgust me.
Right.
As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows.
So, ladies and gentlemen, is that speaking to a church that you know today? Or a denomination?
Speaking to all of them.
Lord.
I would agree, Dr. Nooks. I would absolutely agree. We give the appearance that the doors are open and we go in and we sing songs and we praise and we, you know, we tap and we pray and we tell the Lord how much we love him and we give, you know, a little bit of money and say, oh, you know, we want to do all these great things. And we turn around and in our daily walk, we're not helping those folks who are being affected in negative ways by the system or by other people or by the church. We're not speaking out. We're not getting engaged and involved. We're kind of just letting it happen.
My Lord.
And at some point in time,
right.
God is. We're going to have to answer for that collectively as well as individually. We're going to have to answer for that. That you were put in a place where you could have spoken out, where you could have helped. What did it say? Seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the orphans. Fight for the rights of widows.
Amen.
But those are actions.
Amen.
He didn't say pray about them. Those are actions. That's call to action.
All right.
But yet our churches aren't doing that.
And when we do those things in the name of God, we give God glory. And we are here to give God glory. And you know,
absolutely.
And I think every Christian ought to understand that we are here to give God glory. So when we help the widows, when we help the oppressed, when we do things, it says do good and stop doing evil. So that means do something. That it doesn't mean just go to church and pray about it. Lord, I'm going to pray for you. That means, you know, in James, we need to do good. We need action.
We need work.
Amen. Faith without works is dead. So, I mean, if you have faith, then you ought to have works.
Absolutely.
So, God is sick. God is sick of, he was sick of Israel, and God is sick of us. But it's not the big, glorious, on TV stuff that God is impressed with. God is impressed with our love and our obedience to God. And when we really act out the principles of being a Christian. It's not about talking about it, but it's about doing it. It's exercising our love and our faith, doing something that helps people. You know, if a church doesn't have in its plans to help people, then is it really a church of God? You know, we have all these grandiose plans. We're going to build a church. We're going to do this. We're going to expand. We're going to, you know, make new members. But are
we're
going to
buy $650 million airplanes.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. How much good could that kind of money do?
Man, I could build a whole bunch of homes for homeless folks, man.
Yeah,
and the data shows that that's less expensive than allowing them to linger on the streets.
Amen.
To house an individual, to help them, whether they have addictions, whether they have illnesses, whatever it is, if you can get them housed, you can reduce their cost on society substantially.
Amen.
But yet, we want to spend it on frivolous things. Because I don't care if I, and this is Eric, y'all, so let me just clarify that. I don't care if I had 10 different churches in 10 different cities. Do I really need a $650 million plane?
My Lord.
Does
no.
God need me to have a $650 million plane to do his work?
Excuse me, Eric. All I need is $300 from each person.
Lord have mercy.
That's all. That's all I need.
But Dr. Milch, you're absolutely
right.
I'm
not asking for your retirement. I just want $350.
Amen, sister. But yeah, to be obedient and to bring glory to God by being a reflection of God's love is the most important thing. And the second part of my testimony tonight is that because of me being obedient to what God had asked me to do in the position that I have now of working with the homeless, which I did not want to do with, I can tell you that God has now allowed us to have housed all of our homeless veterans in our community, in our service area, as well as all of our chronic homeless in our area. And we are,
my Lord,
we are the only community in the United States of America,
yeah,
but have met both of those achievements.
What
together.
A blessing. What a blessing.
And I tell anybody, it's all due to God.
My Lord, that's tremendous. That is tremendous.
All due to God. And so, you know, yes, he's asking us to do that. And then he tells us, come now, let us argue this out, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you clean as freshly fallen snow. I remember that. Even if you're stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. If you only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn and refuse to listen, you will be destroyed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have
spoken. Amen. Amen.
I think it's really important. This is Dr. Susie. I think it's really important that we realize our spiritual condition when we go to worship. I think it's important that, you know, there are churches around, and I'm not calling any particular church out, but churches that are really about tradition. All they want is 10 minutes of the sermon, and that's all they need through the week. They don't want to go to church study. They don't want to go to Bible study, but yet that's an indication that our hearts are not towards God, because when we seek God's face, when we seek to hear God's word, that is what God is saying is important to him. This other stuff he said is evil. It's a burden. It's not important. It's not good. He doesn't like that. But when we come,
amen,
wanting to serve God with all that we have, with that relationship that Sean was talking about, with our hearts devoted to God, and not doing things traditionally, you know, and that's why people get so caught up in religiosity. And I don't know how often I preach the sermon, spirituality and religiosity, because people would get excited about going and serving in church so they could stand up in front of the church and lead the choir or read the scripture or be the deacon or be the trustee or be the elder, somebody up front. But they were doing the ritual thing, but if you ask them to come to Bible study, they want to fight you. And see, it's something wrong with us who call ourselves Christians who don't want to devour God's word, who can't put it down. We need to be that way where we don't want to put it down. We don't want to leave the Lord. We want to thirst and hunger after God's word. That's where we're supposed to be, not where empire is more important or, you know, something else on the television is the priority. But God is the priority, because then those other things become idols and they become evil. So if we're going to try to live that life of faith, one that is where God is pleased with our behavior and happy about not being, as the Bible study says, by breaking the tradition and making sure that we're doing it in the appropriate way, then we have to really be cognizant of that, I think, on a regular basis, Eric, because I think we can slip into that easily if we're not careful.
That's absolutely right, and most of us slip into it and don't realize we're there.
Amen.
And this is, Sean, if I could make a comment on that, I agree with
absolutely.
Dr. Susie. You have to get the Word of God in you. It's just no way around it, because the Word is going to feed you in the good times and the bad times. It's the Word that's going to pop up in you that's going to stop you from hurting somebody who you want to hurt. The Word of God will pop up in you that will stop you from, you know, just doing crazy, just anything crazy. I mean, it's just, you'd be amazed at the times when the Word will just pop up in you. And the only reason it's coming up in you, because it's in you. You have to get in order to come up and out. So you have to get the Word in you, and that's why you have to study the Word at home in your own time, and or at church, or, you know, and just with friends or family, wherever, however, you need to study the Word, because the Word has to get in you to feed you. And then, like I said, when in the time of need, even when you don't know you have need, sometimes that Word will come up out of you that will save you. And it will stop you from, even protect you from, even from crazy people and crazy circumstances as well. So, you know, one of the things that stick out in my mind sometimes, like I've been going through some really tough times. It's kind of like Eric was giving his testimony. Tonight I'm not going to go through all mine, but I'm sure one day in the future the Lord will reveal that time for me to tell my whole story. But the short of the story is I've been struggling, and it's been a really rough road, but the one scripture kind of sticks out in me, and it just comes up, is where, he says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him, you know. And so it's like, even when you don't know where to go or what to do or how to deal with what you're dealing with, he's saying, you know, are you going to trust me? You know, that's where the rubber meets the road. And only way you would even know that is the Word has to be in your heart. Like Dr. Susie is saying, you have to get the Word. There's no way around it. And when you don't know the Word, that's when you're lost and you end up in a really bad situation. So that's my comment on that.
That's true, Sister Sean. But I would go one step further too. Is that you got to get the Word in you, but you got to have that relationship with God, because you can get the Word and you can know about God and still not know God.
Amen.
That is possible. People don't believe mm-hmm. that, but that is possible. You can get the Word and you can know about God, but you mm-hmm. still don't know God. And it's
Amen.
Not until you get that relationship with God. Now, it's through the study and the Word and through prayer is what helps you get that relationship. But you got to be seeking that as well. But I absolutely agree. You got to start with getting the Word in you, and words that you,
Amen.
You know, words that
I just
you
wanted to clarify.
Go to.
This is Dr. Susie. I just wanted to clarify when. For those of you who are new in the faith and new in your Bible study and beginning in your faith walk, I think I was understanding in another translated way that Sean was saying is when you study, that means getting the Word in you. You're putting the Word of God in your heart so that when you undergo the trials, when she says pop up, then it comes to remembrance. The Holy Spirit brings that to remembrance, and you are able to utilize that information in your exact situation, in every situation you encounter, because you've put it in your spirit. It's there for you to call on and use, you know, at your discretion as God's bringing it to you. And I think that's just an awesome word that she's brought in, and Brother Eric,
absolutely,
is that,
amen,
in our relationship with God, studying the word, putting it in our spirit, letting it pop up in us so that it'll happen, because as I think when it won't pop up if you don't have a relationship, I don't think. But I think those two things go together. As she was saying, it comes forth because of that relationship. When you invest in someone, it's just like a love relationship. It grows. You feed it, and I've told this story over and over. Whichever, it's like two dogs. Whichever dog you feed is going to be the strongest. And if you give your new nature, the nature, if you feed it with God's word, it'll be stronger than your carnal nature, your old nature. So you feed the new nature, your new creation, the person that you are now, since you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you feed that person the word of God, and it grows, and it's strong, and it can pop up in you. It can come to your spirit when you need it, and God will be there for you. And that's what it says, is with thankfulness, you know, bring thanksgiving to the table. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. So with that, we're at, 7:50. So let's look at Psalm 51, 16 through 17, and I've got that, and I'm going to go ahead and read that, and we'll have some discussion, and we'll get ready to close out tonight. So this is the New Living Translation, and this passage states it as this: "You would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I would bring them. If I brought you burnt offerings, you would not accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart, O God, you will not despise." So we know that that's David writing the psalm to God. And again, you know, God had put in place all of these traditions and the sacrifices that the people were supposed to do and what they were supposed to bring to the temple. But that's not really what God wants. God wants us. He wants us to have repentant hearts. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to seek justice and helping others. And in doing so, then we show that we love God. And from my perspective, we show the reflection of God to this world which God created. For the scriptures say that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But to all of those who did, he made them the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Brother Eric,
that means that we still have to work. Yes, Dr. Susan.
My question to you is, how are you seeing this as God breaking God's tradition?
Breaking God's traditions was a strong word, and I understood that because I wanted us to truly look at that. But what God is saying is that the traditions still stand, but I don't want you to do them mindlessly. I want there to be some purpose behind them. I want you to institute these other things which the traditions were supposed to be driving you to, because you are going to be remembering me. As we talked about last week, those seven traditions were predicated on remembering God and what God had done. And if we remember God and what God had done and God's nature, then those traditions would help us to move forward to do that. But we don't do that. We go the opposite way. We do God's traditions that he put in place, but we live a whole different way from that. And what God is telling us, he really wasn't breaking his traditions. So the theme was a bit mislabeled by choice.
Actually, I like it. I like what you're saying, and it what he means. I'm with you, but what you mean by breaking it is having clarity about. And I think they did break the tradition in the sense that they didn't do it in an appropriate manner. In that sense, they broke the tradition. And I think you were saying a minute ago that a person can read the scripture and still not had a relationship with God. And that's the exact same thing I'm hearing again, is that we can study and we can do all these things, but if we don't do them with the right attitude and the right heart and the right relationship, it will not mean anything. And after a while, it'll cease to have any significance, and it won't give God any glory, and it really, you won't, and it, and you lose the significance.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm hearing exactly what you're saying, and it's so important here, you know, that we understand that specifically it says God doesn't desire sacrifices, I'd offer one, but a broken spirit. And what's the significance of that broken spirit, Brother Eric? What happens when we have a broken
spirit? Is where God then gets to be able to get close to you and to mold you and help you because you have left your pride aside and realizing that you are depending upon the God who made you. And only there, from my perspective, and only there can you begin to grow in that relationship and truly walk with God as Enoch did when he just walked away from him. Because that's
what Sean was
relationship
saying too.
With God.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Sean was saying when she was saying, when you run, and this is for the people in the audience, when you encounter situations and circumstances in your life that you don't know how to handle or what to do with, God can, you'll feel broken, but it's in that brokenness that God wants you to submit to God and let God do what God does best to build that relationship, to build you, strengthen you, and to have you be more like him in the midst of that. Because sometimes some of us, we got to be broken down in order to be built up just like muscle.
Amen.
Because we got
Amen.
Our way of doing it.
And
God wants us to do it God's way.
Well, that's the only way it's going to be right if it's done God's way.
There you go.
And with that, Dr. Susie, I'll turn it back over to you for prayer concerns and praise reports because we're at about 7:56 from my clock. But I want to thank all of you for being engaged in the lesson tonight.
All right. And next week, our title will be what, Valer?
Oh, next week.
New thing.
Next week. Yeah. Let me, next week being the 21st, look into the new thing.
All right. Well,
looking to the new thing.
We look forward to it. Looking to what?
Looking to the new thing.
Oh, to the new thing. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you for the Bible study. It's been great so far. Let us be mindful of our president. Brother Nix, would you close us in prayer? Sean, do you feel like praying tonight? Brett?
Sean
or Brett? Do you feel like praying tonight? Sean, you in the mood to pray tonight, Brett?
Sure, I'll pray.
All right. Well, would you please lift up our president in the midst of that and the people who have not been able to make it to Bible study these days and to our radio listening audiences who are struggling with pay and jobs and finances and trying to figure out how to do this thing about living for the Lord and having a relationship. And as you do so, please continue to pray for job security for those of us on the line and health. Please. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight, just giving you praise, honor, and glory, thanking you, Lord God, for being able to study your word, to have a discussion and understand that your word would go forth and feed not only us but the listening audience, those who are saved and those who are unsaved, Lord, because your word is true. And, Lord, we just pray and ask, God, that you would just guide us in what your will is for our lives. Lead us and guide us into job security, excellent health, wealth, and prosperity, blessings to our families, our friends, whatever our prayer concerns may be, Lord God. Lord, we pray for our president. We pray for our country, Lord God. We pray for the world. We pray for peace, Lord God. Lord God, we pray your will would be done in every area of our lives and in the lives of the listeners right now, the listening audience, Lord God. Lord, we pray and ask that they would understand and get draw closer to you and that the words that they hear of you and your word, that it would draw them closer to you and that they would study your word and pray and build a strong relationship with you, Lord God. For that is your will, Lord, that the world would be saved. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done and pray that you continue to bless us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.